So we just we commit this time to any follow-up questions or thoughts. And this is for the Lord to govern and judge our time. So go ahead.
Well, you were reading in 2 Corinthians 10, and to finish that thought, because it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then verse 6, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And so I know the Lord really, really has confronted me over and over and over on that. Is, you know, the dealing with these principalities, already dealt with it on the cross. They're already done. So what is really the issue is he is ready to punish all the disobedience. He's ready when my obedience is complete. Yes. And so I really, that adjusts us toward the Lord. Because if we see things in our midst, and pointing my fingers at one another, well, that person, blah, 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 blah. Well, Lord, then what is it that you're doing? Because that's not an issue. You can certainly rout out these principalities. And what is the issue then? Wherever our obedience is complete. And so I think we can expound that. What does that look like? It's Christ. It's the measure of Christ, because I was even, as you were talking today, thinking of the dealings of the Lord with me, and just, learning to come in alignment with his thoughts, too. Because I think what you were saying is, there could be the murmuring, complaining against God, but also on the flip side then, because I know when you talked about the numbers, years ago, the Lord showed me very blatant, I was such a murmur and complainer about everything. It's like, okay, well, it's like, I know not to go down that road. But then what's kind of the flip side of it? Is then taking the full responsibility. It's like, okay, I've ended up in this situation. Wow. Lord, I know you're holy. I know you're dressed and you're perfect and, all of this stuff. Then there's something so desperately wrong. What have I done? And then to really go through all of
it. Then you're accused, then, right?
Exactly. And then coming down under the great weight. And you guys saw that when I was here, moved here. That's a big weight. Wow. And then what I realized, in a sense, that's a pride. Because have I not already committed, Lord, I really want to be in your will. Well, then I'm not understanding the sovereignty of God. Here I ended up in a situation which I felt like my will was greater than his, and making that determination in the situation that I was in. And so God used it. Oh my gosh. He used it. Broke me. Well, we're still working on stuff. But I hate saying anything.
It's a process.
Yeah. I hate saying anything. But he just worked me over inside out, upside down, and felt like grounding me to absolute powder to come out on the other side and say, wow, Lord, kind of in a sense like Job, you are sovereign. You are sovereign. And yeah, all right, my desire is to be in your will. And if I am in your will, then these circumstances that I find myself in, which seem entirely contrary to everything else, then as I submit to this, now what? Ooh, man, now he's got... When my obedience is complete, he's ready to punish the disobedience.
By the word, the complete means to be brought to fullness and completion. I mean, it's a fullness.
Yeah. And so I have to chuckle now, but at the time, man, it was terrible because I would see disobedience in certain persons and I would confront it. Man, I'm like you in a sense. It's just, and then what would I get in return was this mocking principality and the sneering and this laughter and like, I don't have to leave. And I'm like, oh, God. And I was like you. I could have just jumped down that throat of this person and grabbed that thing by its neck and pulled it out and cut it off. I mean, that was what I wanted to do. And so
we know, Sally.
I know. And I would have done it. And I still think about it. And so I was like, oh, Lord. And so... No, it's terrible. When you have that personality, you know what God has to do with something like that. I mean, you know.
Something or someone.
Something.
Someone.
Someone.
The person.
And so, man, I mean, it just makes my stomach turn of thinking the dealings. I mean, God is ready to punish the disobedience, but what did he have to do? Mm-hmm. He didn't expose stuff. What is he saying? This is not according to Christ. I'm operating out from the source of the flesh, leaning on my own understanding, thinking, yes, this is righteousness, this is holiness, Lord, this can't be, blah, 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 blah. Well, what am I doing? I'm taking things on according to the flesh and saying, God, I'm going to submit to your sovereignty and wait and see. So he began that long process. Still waiting. Still do it. And it's like, okay. And so if that little thing that wants to go, all right, I'm ready, God, let me at it. I'll just let me do it. You know, okay, God.
You look like a porcupine.
Yeah, man. You know, especially in this weather, my hair looks like a porcupine.
You've got to trim off all those little quills.
It does. It makes me fat. Flatten me out like a duck, for sure. So, I mean, that's really a horrific process. It really is we are ready to punish all disobedience. It's like, oh, Lord. And when we've seen this in the last year, what is God doing? I mean, I just was probably just as surprised as anybody. Is, whoa, God, you did it. You answered my prayer. Whew, one full swoop, you know. I mean, it's just amazing. It really is. So what's he ready for whenever your obedience is complete? So it's like, Lord. Now, what are you doing? What am I to do? So he's reducing me to a very simple prayer. Lord, what am I to do in this situation? That's really all I'm responsible for.
Inquiring the Lord.
Yeah.
Lance brings that up over and over again.
Exactly.
Not only personally, but corporately.
Exactly. Lord, what are you doing? And so our prayer meeting Friday, Lord, mm-hmm. we see this, 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 and this. So what are you doing? What's here? What are you doing? Wow, thank you, Lord. Today, he's answered that very swiftly. And so as we continue to pray, he's dealing so much with, he's ready to punish all disobedience whenever our obedience is complete. Yeah. And to know that, to know it, because what is he truly, truly after? Features of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the features of Christ, the enemy cannot touch. Mm-hmm. And when I finally begin to see it, and I know in the midst of it, we all have our issues. I mean, my issues, I go down under and I get just as sideways as anybody, and then have to come up and say, all right, God, now, really, what are you doing here? All right, come up. Now, Lord, we're walking forward. What am I to do? Just because there's a need, and my gosh, we see millions of needs. We deal with them every day. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Do you want me to do anything in the situation? Release me whenever, wherever, whatever, and I'm just available to you because I know the power and the sovereignty of God and what he can do. He's got to prepare. He's got to prepare this person who's DID, and only God can do that to bring down and make and to bring in a level of obedience so now he can come in. And so, I don't know, I was just excited to hear.
Thank you.
Let me just comment on that because you're focusing on your personal life. We all need to do that.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about this level of warfare, what are we to do?
Yes.
Because there's what you are, but I'm just a member. Well, how does this integrate into an assembly time? Because according to Matthew 16, it's the church that is the final authority, not an individual. If this brother sins against you, go to him. If he doesn't respond, then take another brother. If he doesn't listen to the other brother, then take it to the church. And if he doesn't listen to the church, which is the final criterion, let him be considered a tax gatherer and a sinner. Then next verse,
And when two or three are gathered together, agreeing in prayer, etc. So there's the corporate dimension, and that's where we have to say, okay, not what I do, what about the next time we gather together so that this can be resolved in the ecclesia, the called out assembly. Yeah, the church is the criteria of God's means of judging in any given situation. What are the church? Two or three gather together in my name and praying, symphonizing, harmonizing, and it shall be done by my Father in heaven. So, yeah,
no,
I've just added
him
that.
Doing that more, bringing it into what we're dealing with more and more and more. It's no longer an individual, no longer just you, Doug, no longer just Lori. You know, he's bringing us more and more into that realm of the corporate. But, I mean, look how long it took me to get on board. Whew. I mean, he had to take me out of the depths of my own idolatry to bring me. And then, what? Who? I mean, I still wouldn't fit, even after being integrated. And then through all the chastening and maybe learning just now to how to step on board in a corporate way so that we are moving together as a team of athletes.
Yeah.
As I was just sitting here listening to you, more thoughts were coming to my mind, and the main one being Ephesians 3. Of course, we see this as the very epitome of the very central focus of Paul's ministry, Ephesians 3. And when he says, to me, the very least of all the saints, the grace was given, grace, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, for which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that, verse 3:10, that the varied or manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And I thought, that sums up the sovereignty of God to me. That all of this that you all were born into, and that so many in the body of Christ, it's like the Lord allowing it for a reason. And for this reason, that the manifold, just think, from God's perspective, here he is, he has so much, he's God, he is holy, he is loving, he wants to make himself known, he wants to share. The first one he did it with were the angels, and some of them blew it, you know what I mean? And so his heart broke then with Lucifer, and then man comes on the scene, and man falls, and God waits and waits and waits through the whole history of Israel, patriarchs Israel. And then he says, no, this is my instrument. The church will be my divinely, and is my divinely appointed instrument to bring out that which was hidden in God, hidden in myself, he says, forever. How is it done? That the manifold wisdom of God. So what are we growing in? What are we exercised over? And why are we exercised? Again, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. And also we think about what it says in Peter, things into which angels long to look. So the angels are watching this play out. God has permitted Satan to do his worst, and we know why. It has to do with the prolonging of him being able to stay where he is now, so that, you know, the age of Israel doesn't resume and he gets kicked out of heaven, etc. But so here we are. He's allowed this in his sovereignty. He has said, my wisdom will be made known in a way. The corporate nature of the church, so much of who God is and his heart will be made known by allowing this, because it is too much for man. It is too much. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched my husband and him hour after hour, literally thousands of hours, hearing about the abuse for 30-some years now. And it has almost destroyed him. It really has. I know God has used it marvelously to whittle down that natural strong man that we see in Sally too, you know, and used it in Sally too, and all of us, you know, to deal with the natural man. But it's like, it's come to the point with Doug. It's like, you see, like this vortex where it's come to a head where Doug can't take it anymore. Because that is God's heart. And God is not going to take it anymore. And it's not even so much against people that are SRIDID. It's all of us. I heard from the Lord today for myself in this. And this past year, I've often wondered, wow, we can't assume that we're going into the land when I've got all this murmuring and complaining inside of me. You know, but anyway, getting back to that, which is too much for us. It was too much for you people to go through it. It was too much for, it's too much for us to be, to go through it with you. But this is where the wisdom of God, the very nature of God is being manifest, because he is enough and he can see us through. It's far worse than what Israel went through in the wilderness. Far worse. There's no comparison. And so we're seeing our God get something out of this that he otherwise couldn't have or wouldn't have. So I think that's where we bow to his sovereignty, and we understand that right now this issue of our sanctification and our maturity has to do with his manifold wisdom being made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies. So it's always...
We have to close the gates.
Yeah.
The iniquity force.
Definitely, in all of us.
That is the focus.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think also, because it's all been too much, that, and what is it, why has God allowed that? To test our hearts, to show us where we have sinned, to show us what we turn to when the pressure is so great instead of to him. It's like these are final things he's dealing with as far as I'm concerned. That's the way I see it. And so what's the bottom line verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll do it. So if we are going to not lean into our own understanding, that means like Doug, you said, you declared, I'll trust him, I will not murmur, because even though I do not understand this, I choose to trust him. So I think that is, to me, the bottom line. Then there's just one other
I think one thing did Diamond has hand up, so maybe we take a break and you can come back to that.
Okay.
Well, you didn't finish it. That's all right. I believe the Lord is directing me to put my hand up. And in the assembly, there's always it's always a specific kind of order. And what you have to share is important.
I don't know for sure how important it actually is, but for me, as it's kind of interesting, and I'm not sure how this will all come out, but I just trust in the Lord that he would guide my heart and thoughts.
Take your time.
Just in the last few days, even as I continue to cry out to the Lord, you know, as to some of the aspects of my, even my feelings, my emotions, and so forth, that I've had to, bring into correspond them with truth. Mm. What's real? What's the reality of life? And the thing that seems like that's than the last year or so here has come to a head, kind of, I shouldn't say a head. It keeps coming up. It seems like, you know, I say, Lord, why am I here? And I don't really understand why you're allowing, you know, the ongoing of what's happening. And then even for myself, as to how my responsibility is, or how I'm supposed to respond in Him, in Christ, because I don't really have anything to offer, and in out of myself, and I don't even understand, you know, some of the aspects. You know, I've submitted, you know, and I'm submitting, you know, of coming here and so forth, and that's never even been a doubt. And that doesn't, you know, it's okay, Lord, as it's continuing on. And as far as even the involvement and how involved and how not to get involved. And the last, and of course the Lord keeps using circumstances, you know, that things change. You know, I was, you know, full-time of Lowe's. And of course that separated me out a lot, in which, you know, to be honest, you know, that I was very content with that. That didn't even bother me. And then when I started getting knee issues and so forth, and then got old enough I could take on partial retirement, work part-time, that opened up more time for other things. Well, some of the other things that it took, well, that it opened up more time for, wasn't really the other things that I was really, really cared to get involved in. But somehow the Lord allowed in my humanity, in essence, but of course Him overruling it, you know, in that, sometimes even not me even recognizing it at the time, but just, I think, you know, as the Lord, as I look back, the Lord is always, there's always even that aspect to know that it comes into the end, I still want the Lord's way. I don't want to separate myself from Him. And I just stand into that good. And then the last week or so here, then it's just, you know, okay, you know, some of the thoughts and so forth are coming in and say, okay, Lord, some of my resistance and some of that even not knowing for sure how to fit in or how not to fit in, you know, and the dissatisfaction of my life and even some right now, even some of the work that I'm doing, I'm grateful for that, but yet then it has anxiety and anxiousness over it, especially when it comes to plumbing, water lines and stuff like that. You're always on the background, you know, you have this thing, you know, that, you know, you're a human being and you can make mistakes. And, you know, your greatest dread is that you get this call for some plumbing you did and they said, my house is flooded. Well, I get a call, but the house wasn't flooded, but it's up on the ceiling that we have to open up. And so, and I don't know if it's my fault or his fault, but we don't know that yet, because he did part of it too. But, so that's an anxiousness. And it's a liability that I personally, at my age, told the Lord, I'm not sure I want that. You know, when you're building a house, or doing something mechanically, that as far as that doesn't deal with water, you know, there's not the anxiousness on it. You know, you can screw up sometimes and not make the thing quite right and so forth, but most of the time, if you the right kind of construction man on there, you can usually hide your mistakes, and they're just as strong as ever, and nobody's the wiser, and you're fine. But plumbing, it kind of has this way of sneaking right through the ceiling. And so when I look at that, I say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And when we talked about, you know, complaining and murmuring, that I look back and I say, okay, Lord, my discontent at times, my struggling and wiggling around and not really wanting and being content with what you have and what's what and what's available and what's not available, you are always available. You're always there. And I know that. When I look back, in truth, everything in life, the changes, the heartaches, the pain, the disappointments, you've always been there. and see the greater good, pull it through. And everything that we're going through, we've been going through, we are going through, around, in as individuals and in the assembly. You know, it's okay, Lord, we're looking to that. You know, we read your words, you know, the greater good, the greater purpose, the greater provision that you have. And in my naiveness, when it comes to some of that kind of stuff, all I have to go on is to trust, to believe in that you have the greater good. But one of the thoughts that came into my mind is to realize that, Lord, part of my struggle, then that's just showing that I have lost focus and not really trusting who you are in the circumstances. And so for me, I confess that, but I want to just publicly confess to you that in any way that I have doubts and doubted God and His sovereignty through the illnesses, you know, through the pains, through the agonies, and mine doesn't hold a candle what this lung lady is every touch. I get even fat, and even my wife and anyone else. And then when I even look at that and then see and try to focus on the cross, what am I? Where am I at? You know, there's a God that is so far beyond that my little pea brain can't even scratch the surface. Can't even make a mark on that. And so I do, and I prayed for weeks and months and various prayers just to ask the Lord in anything in me to be able to come out to His greater good, that there be no evil flowing through me, through my home, and out through the assembly, and out to all my jobs, any plan that I come in contact with, that be cut off. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to just be able to know and to understand, and to stand into the power of His resurrection power. I mean, I look back, even in the prayers, as I pray, I don't know what. Franz talks about a certain gift that I have. I don't even understand what that's supposed to amount to or represent on that. But all I know is that for me, it's not what I've got. It's what Christ has. And that's the only, even in knowing how to pray, and over the year or two here, praying around various situations, while with various people, and around my wife, around the ladies, the circumstances, the stuff that we've gone through. All I know is, I know God's made a difference. Those prayers have made a difference, not because of me, but because of Him. Because in me there is no good thing. There is nothing there for me to even give any claim to. But I know that there's a still, I live in the flesh. It's as a body. This is a fleshly body. And there's various aspects that I've gone through that I've confessed and come through, but I'm realizing, it kind of hit me this weekend, I'm going to realize, okay, every day is a new day. And every day I'm still in this body, and this body is a body that has soul desires, flesh desires. And that this and every day, this body needs to be curbed in Christ. It's the only way it's ever going to make it through the day. And so it's not a matter of confessing, well, I confessed that a month ago. Well, that was a month ago. Today is today. Today is a new day. And whatever that the Lord has given me and shown me, another aspect, another form. It almost sounds like a DID. When you think of form, you know, they're an aspect. It's another layer. But that's even though, for me, when I look at that, on it, because of my human essence, in a sense, we have, you know, because we are, as two aspects, the body and the soul and the spirit, and they're at war with each other. And so we have those two to work with. And so every day we have those to work with. We don't get to confess and lay it down there and we're good for the next month. So it'd be nice if it worked that way, but it doesn't seem to work that way. And so it's just the Lord's been using various aspects, various chapters. I'm a very slow reader and getting stuff read, but going through about a variety of different books and you have a little here, a little there. And it seems like it's a day that, you know, it's okay, Lord, what do we have today? And so it's just a growing, but it's a trusting. It's a believing that the Lord is really in charge and that his lordship is going to be demonstrated in each one of us and in us as an assembly, and that as he continues to manifest his lordship, then we're going to see things happen like we see, and I think even Friday night. For me, I mean, I don't get the stuff that I hear you girls talking about. Oh, that was great and fantastic. That was such a washing. That's not me. I don't think God is just one. I just had to believe it, that it happened, and that it's happening, and that it's ongoing, and that the Lord is fully in charge. And so for me, you know, and I thank the Lord, I thanked him yesterday for when we talked, when I look back, even on Friday night, and to see, and then the time I spent with Addie, the change, the difference. Okay, that's God. Mm-hmm. And then the two aspects that Julie got a start on, but that's God. And so now it's going to be God for the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about today, and that as for Doug, and also that's another thing I need to just continue to stay on board and focus on the Lord in his authority, to be able to stand in that good of authority in any way that any feelings or distrust or whatever the Satan tries to bombard in, or dysfunction and so forth between the relationship between Doug and I and Dan. Because I know for me, Satan tries to use that, and he has used it at times. But the Lord's seen us through that. But I'm looking to the Lord for his greater spiritual unity and understanding, to see his oneness being demonstrated in as an assembly. I know that, you know, that without oneness as individuals in Christ, you can't even begin to get the oneness corporately. But as you, and then for me, too, as far as to decipher the difference, to recognize that my part is going to be totally different than Dan's part, and it's totally different than Doug's part. And for some reason, I don't even know why it came to my mind yesterday, but the Lord was talking about, you know, that, because I hear Doug sometimes, he'll say, well, if it was me, I would do this and I would do that. And it hit me and said, oh, crap, that's right. It's good that I'm not Doug, because if I was Doug, I wouldn't be here. So, Lord, that's the only reason I'm here, because I'm not Doug. If I wasn't, it would never work.
No, it wouldn't.
And so it's the kind of thing for me, that, okay, I need to find my place, my spot, and try to understand how I stand under that authority, mm-hmm, in the headship that he has run down through, mm-hmm, us. And that his name can be honored and glorified, and that Satan truly be crushed in such a way, in such a manifest way, then that we see the greater things, even like we've seen for Friday night, and that we continue to see greater things. Sure, it's not done, but it's one day at a time. Mm-hmm. But it's the greater things. And then not to allow Satan to discourage us when it's not going as fast as we think it should go. But he's still in control. He's still number one. and he's still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's the thing, even when I think about the elections, you know, some of these people, I made a comment one time in there, and someone said, well, don't try to spiritualize things near here, in her mind. And I'm not sure who the girl was, but... And it, for me, I said, okay, we have this, and they're bringing up everything around the elections, and they're trying to pit against each other. Okay, we're saying this about this, but then there's God. We're trying to bring up mud over here, but then there's God. Okay, now in this assembly, we're trying to bring up, we as individuals, we have our own junk that we have to do. And Sally was sharing how we, our own junk to do that. Okay, we are human beings. We are fallible in such a way that we make mistakes, we screw up, but then there's God. And so we have to focus on that in such a way that we never had before. Then there's always God that goes beyond our screw-ups, our mistakes, and to be able to demonstrate the justice of God through his love, grace, and mercy that covers that multitude of sins.
Some more. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear in what I was trying to share, but to me, that you're just kind of solidifying what I was trying to share, in that the Lord is gaining what he's always wanted by what is going on in our assembly. And it doesn't mean that we don't... I mean, what you brought today, Doug, is really a... It was phenomenal, and we needed that. And as far as where the canopy needs to be closed, the what do you call it, the iniquity gate? So, the iniquity force. But I'm just saying that in the midst of all this, the Lord's wisdom is being made known. That is how we're getting through. That is why we're making progress, because underneath are the everlasting arms. Mm-hmm. And I can just imagine the angels peering down, watching, mm-hmm. saying, oh, okay, look at what they're discovering of the majesty of God. Look at how they're being humbled. Look how they're bowing to the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And look how they're discovering me. Look how they're learning to love each other. Look how they're walking together as a body. Look how they've got to stay in sync as a closely knit phalanx. I mean, to me, that's Ephesians 3:10 being worked out because of what has happened at the hand of the enemy. So all that you're sharing, Ivan, you are a different person than you were 3 years ago. Yes, even a year ago. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Yeah, we see the old Ivan, we see those struggles and stuff as such, but the way you are articulating things, that's the Lord. The way you're able to interpret things, that's the Lord. The way you compliment Dan and Doug and us ladies, that's the Lord. And so, you know, this is the Lord's work, and it's in a context. And in that context, the manifold wisdom of God is being made known in these little earthen vessels, you know. So I praise his name. And the other day when I was doing my prayer walk, I read Psalm 111, back to the Lord, and it when you were talking about the emphasis on the holiness of God, I thought about how in this Psalm 111, many of his attributes are brought out. So I won't take the time to read it now, but if you'll make a note and just go back and see his faithfulness, righteousness, uprightness, trustworthiness, awesome holiness. It's mm-hmm. all in Psalm 111. Mm. What a psalm to worship him through. Hmm. Jimmy, oh, Annie wants that.
Thank you. I don't know if you even want this recorded, but I mean, when I came to assembly today, I came very I mean, God does something amazing one night. The next day, it's like I'm like a freaking calf out of the stall, just jumping, running. And then this morning, it's like I hit ground zero, and I'm like, okay. Everything, you know, it's like I came to assembly, and it's like I literally forgot my pants or something. It feels like I've just been laid bare all morning and dealing with a lifelong bitter root judgment towards God, towards every authority figure that's ever been in my life. You know, you talk about grumbling, complaining. It's like it doesn't have to come through your mouth. When you've been in the roles that I've been in, it exudes from the very, you know, center of who you are that has defied authority your entire life and made yourself God. And so it's like, okay, everything that has happened the last 2 days is true. And everything I grew up to be as an adult is true. And it's like, I come before the Lord like, okay, I can confess, I can do all this, but it's like, I have this, over the last weeks, what was once a DID process has become so much more not a DID process, and so much more, you know, when we talk about deep characterological issues, it's like, okay, a bitter root judgment towards God. The same way a principality is displaced, I think in a lot of ways, the depths and the of this bitter root judgment is displaced by, Lord, I believe you. In the face of every accusation I've ever agreed with towards you, I now believe your word. It's like each lie that I've come into alignment with, I have to come into alignment with the truth. And it's not just once. It's not like, okay, I ask, and I do every day, I rip out every bitter root judgment towards you, God. But then it's like I turn around and there's a situation where it's like, where are you, God? Where are you? And it's like, instead of saying, where are you? I mean, I can say that, but to say, I believe your word that you are here, you've never left me, you're present, and you're not presently passive, you're presently active and bringing me unto the completion of your purpose in my life and conforming me to your son, period. So what does that look like? I don't make a judgment in this situation. What it should or should not look like, I trust that you're going to bring it forward. And so I think that that's, it's like today, it's like, I need to confess, I need to do that, I need to, and it's like, I just settled down, and I guess maybe, I'm like, okay, this is about confession and repentance, but repentance is turning, like an action, and a thing that involves pain, patience, surrender, time. I mean, I spent 33 years in active rebellion towards God in decision after decision after decision. So what does it mean now in moment by moment daily life when I'm in situations that to me I am grumbling? The attitude of grumbling and complaining is within me. The attitude of I do not like this situation, therefore I will remove myself from it, either through dissociation or through a disrespect towards authority, or through I will do something in my own strength to remedy the pain of the situation that God has put me in, and the cross. And it's like, okay, Lord, what does it mean? Like, yes, all these things have happened to me, and I need to accept that. But I need to also accept, there's no way to accept, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Like, okay, accept your past. Well, in a DID person's mind, you want to accept each fragment as it was, petrified in the state that it was. But to accept what happened is to accept that Christ took my place then so I can be present now. And what does that look like? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. I mean, except for people who've done it in their own lives and walked forward. What does it mean for me to be present here and now fully in all that has happened and live life as a whole person? Nobody knows but God, and that's okay. I think, you know, what God brought me back to this morning, and it goes along some with what Lori shared, is John 9, and I have held on to Jung my entire, you know, young adult to adult life. And it's this man that's born blind from birth. And I've always known I've been that man, even from when I was little. I don't know how to explain it, but... And it says, why is this man born blind? Was it because his parents sinned or because he sinned? And God... Jesus didn't debate that. Yes, his parents sinned. Yes, you know, he sinned in his life, I'm sure. But he said the point that he was born blind was not to forever have this man live in punishment for something that was done before him. The point was that God's works would be manifested where? In him. In the very body that was born blind. In him. Like, it's not manifested around him. It's manifested through the vessel that has existed in blindness up to the point when he met the Son of God. And so it's like, okay, I lay hold of that. And nowhere else in scripture, for me, do you see this, like, so the man goes before these scribes and Pharisees, and he proclaims a Christ that he's never actually seen. He proclaims him. He's only seen him with his spiritual eyes. And then when he finally, then Jesus comes and reveals himself, he just worships him openly. Wherever he was, there are Pharisees around because they're within earshot. The man is just on his face opening the Lord Jesus, like worshiping him openly before everyone. And it's like, such a pure worship coming from this man who has been expelled from the synagogue. I mean, the poor guy, he's only brought, he can't come in because he's blind for most of his life. Then when he is brought in, he's on trial for receiving healing from the hand of God. And then he's immediately kicked out for testifying. And so it's like, he's expelled, he's disowned by his parents, and yet he's worshiping God unhindered before all of these people. And it's like, oh God, may that be my life. May that be my life, regardless of what the cost is, regardless of, even if I'm, you know, in measure, though his physical eyes were open, he was still spiritually blind in some sense. Like, he had to ask the Lord, who is he? Who is the Savior? And as soon as it's revealed, it's like, pure worship. And so it's like, even in this time for me where there's so much transition, there's still partial blindness, it's like, okay, Lord, may I testify and bring honor and glory to your name, not in ways that I thought before, in methods that I thought before, but as a whole person, just me, all that I've been, but present here now. May I worship you.
Well, thank you for sharing. You couldn't share a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago. Anyone else? Okay. Well, Father God, may you always appreciate in our own limited capacity for your presence being made known. And so may our spirit be more aligned with you in the third heaven. May our soul that was once occupied by and influenced by the powers of darkness, second heaven, come into complete subordination to a human spirit joined with who you are in the third heaven. So our bodies here on earth will be our bond slaves. Paul says, I make my body buffet and make it my slave. So that a spirit and soul union with you in heaven might begin to take on some form of physicality here. So that the word might once again become flesh. So we ask, Lord, that in some way, that the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Logos, he became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of the uniquely begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. We say to you, Lord, that
we desire, the Word would become flesh in our lives. So that those that are lost, when they say we would see Jesus, you could point and say, go there and you'll see Jesus. So as we continue on with the Lamb in the midst of the throne, you know that that is your thrust, that is your focus. It's about we becoming less and Him becoming more. It's about, like John the Baptist said, that I must decrease in order that He might increase, grow, until the church becomes the fullness of Him that fills all in all. So what a project you have in hand, Lord. My word. What infinite patience. What endurance. What vast, unlimited, immense knowledge and wisdom you have too. Take every human being that's redeemed and sculpt them into the very dwelling place of God. So, we recommit ourselves, Lord, that you might have that dwelling place here. And that, Lord Jesus, you might find a home in our hearts. So as we think about Christmas, there was no dwelling place there in Nazareth. So there was a place where animals could feed. And they placed you in a feeding trough. Born in a place called the House of Bread, Bethlehem. A place where, in a trough where we may feast, where we can behold the Lamb of God. And so, may this Christmas, you don't have to search for a place to stay. You might find your home here, Lord. So we commit this to you in Jesus' name.